and that should automatically start recording on the Marantz.
Welcome, this is Oceana Community Services District. Tonight is Wednesday, June 25th, 2014. It is Thursday, excuse me, it is 6:30 p.m. Marie, can I get a roll call?
Director White?
Here.
Director Blackburn? Here. Director Angelo?
Here.
Vice President Lucy?
Here.
President Guerrero?
I'm present as well. All members are present and accounted for. If you would join me for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, for under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all.
Item number five, public comment on matters not on the agenda. Ms. Naylor asked for public comment.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, board members. I read the utilities report dated June 20th, 2014, and it read like a good novel because back in 2010, I identified a pipe coming out of a water main that runs behind the businesses on Pier Avenue. It runs behind, down the paper street, behind those businesses, around where the Angelos have their business. And there's appeared to be about a one-inch pipe. Thank you. There appeared to be a one-inch pipe that had been drawing water out of a portion of unmetered section of water main. And the Parks Department didn't really want to investigate. They came out, but they wouldn't produce work orders to try and track back and, you know, figure out who the pipe belonged to and whether they were, you know, siphoning water, whether there was a meter, or what was going on. And then I find in this June 20th report that the Water Boys, our new water department, potholes for a water main in the alley east of 307 Pier Avenue, and discovered that the section of water main that they found was not identified on the water map. And from this report, it appears that it was not metered either. And then in the same section of notes, which appears to be a summary of their reports, it was a 6-inch ACP. So I was kind of looking for information from the water department to get a little bit more about that. And then in the next sentence, they say that when they potholed it, which I assume is they created a pothole so that they could get down and work on that main, they gave one of their reasons for doing that work is that since there was new construction in the area, the new construction requires installation of a fire hydrant and water meter, or water meters. So I understand Director Lucy is still the person that's supposed to give reports on that meeting, and that's what I'm looking forward to hearing tonight, is a more detailed report on the June 20th utility meeting. We've got a water department guy here, Tony, who may be able to give us more detailed information on that.
I'll be more than happy to answer your question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor. Is there any other public comment this evening? Ms. Gibson, good evening.
Thank you. Hi. Hello to the board. Shirley Gibson, Halcyon, and I just wanted to note my support for AGP video. I think it's necessary for democracy and transparency, and anything that helps keep the board accountable, I think, is a good thing. And I do want to say that no one, from my own experience, no one looks or sounds good on TV. And when I watch the OCSD, I don't see any real problems with the sound. The only problem I have is when the directors do not speak directly into the microphone or speak loud enough. That's the problem. And I don't think that should be the responsibility of the video people to remind you. I just think that should be something you do automatically. And I know a couple people have mentioned the audio download that is available, but I think the problem with that is unless you're constantly announcing yourself when you speak, if it's on audio, then we don't know who's speaking. And by the same token, if someone's not speaking directly into the microphone, we're still not going to be able to hear them. So anyway, that's my point, and I do support the continuation, and hopefully you don't make me go get a petition from residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gibson. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Move on to special reports. I don't see the Five Cities Fire Authority. They're actually over at the Roy Grandy City Hall right now for a meet and greet that I was just at. I also don't see the sheriff's representative here, so we'll go to item number 7C, which is OCSD operations. Tony Maricino.
Go ahead. I was just going to say there is a fire report in our packet.
Yes, mm-hmm. we did.
To new development in the works.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Tony.
Yes. So to cover a couple, this is the end of the fiscal year, to cover a couple projects, we created and implemented a dead-end flushing program that will improve Oceano's water quality. We began creating a sewer jetting program as well as implementing cleaning the sewer mains. This will prevent spills. This also complies with our SSMP. We've exercised all the valves to ensure we can get a proper shutdown when needed in case of emergencies. It also helps us identify valves that are not properly working so we can replace them. We've done air vac maintenance. This helps eliminate air in the system. It has a point that it can release air so it doesn't go to the customers. Due to these programs, it's created a lot of extra work. We've identified manholes that are below grade. We've identified valves that need to get replaced. Meter boxes that need to get raised, concreted in. Other valve boxes that need to get raised. We have a lot of water mains and alleys. A lot of dirt. So we got to raise them, put pour concrete rings so we can locate them in times of emergencies. And we have been doing that as we identify them. So we've still continued to replace meters this past year. We've replaced every 4-inch and every 6-inch meter in our system. Those are extremely big meters, and they were under registering. This also creates revenue due to the efficiency of the meters being replaced, and it also the water loss in the system. We have accurate meters. It's less water loss, because we can identify where the water's going by billing it. We've also attended numerous classes to improve our job performance and our safety. For the last couple weeks, I'll cover the last couple weeks, what we've been doing. We've had 15 work orders, 7 USAs, 13 customer service calls. We had 2 call-outs. We had one significant one last Tuesday. The lift station actually went down. The reason the lift station went down, and we didn't need any other support because we have all the equipment that we need now, we actually pulled the motor. The impeller and volute was seized up by 2 cell phones. The other motor was running inefficiently due to plastic liquor bottles. I don't know how they got in there, and hard plastic and a pair of sunglasses. So we got a high-level alarm. It was about 8:20 Tuesday night. We all responded out there, got it taken care of by 11:20, pulled both motors, cleaned them, got them back running. Everything's been great since.
That was without an overflow?
Yeah, no problems with the sewer. We have the jetter here. We can always vacuum it out if we need to. But we pulled them quick enough, tore everything out of it, pulled it all out, put it back in a, back together, got it up and running within 3 hours.
Great.
No problems, no hiccups, nobody backed up. We're still cleaning sewer mains. We cleaned in the past 2 weeks over 14,000 feet. We've replaced 15 5/8 meters, 2 1-inch. We had another after-hours call out. That was for Lucy MR, their irrigation. Grover Beach PD called us. Irrigation's just, it's over-irrigating. They got some phone calls and it's going down the street, so we notified them the very next day in the morning, let them know about their irrigation. A lot of residents have came up to us. Curb gutters and sidewalks where the hydrants are located, they're not painted red. We had a lot of irate, just people we deal with, they see us on a day-to-day basis. So we've taken the initiative, we've started painting curbs where there is hydrants, and I have talked to Jim Hanlon, he's the county inspector, let him know what we're doing, make sure we're not out of line, because it really isn't our curb gutter and sidewalk, but we see these people every day. So we had to do something for safety. Cars are blocking hydrants. So we just took the initiative, put up signs, and painted some curbs. Any questions?
Thanks.
Yes.
Yeah. Doesn't the fire department take care of the curbs, the red curbs with the hydrants?
I honestly could not answer that question. I do not know.
Who takes care of the hydrants?
We do.
Okay. Well, then.
We own, operate, and maintain the hydrants.
Yeah, that was a stupid question. I know you do. In Halcyon, at least.
Lori, do you have any questions? Or
no.
Jennifer?
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony, thank you. You guys have held this place together the last quite a while.
$21,000 savings to the district. We've also upgraded all the internet and phone lines in the office. The phones actually work really well now. Mary noticed we have a little bit of new landscaping out in front of the buildings. Things were looking a little ratty around here. That just got completed about a week ago. We put new stairs front and back and gutters at the fire station modular and new sensors for the roll-up doors. And in conjunction with the energy audit that took place here a couple of months ago, the district is going to get some new lighting. The bays at the fire station will get new lights. The interior lights here will get, the covers won't get replaced, but all the interior lights will get replaced, and then all of the exterior lights on the building will get replaced too. Our cost for that whole situation is $500. And we're going to see, according to their numbers, about a $5,300 a year savings on the electricity bill, which should help pay for some of Tony's pumping when he's pumping well water. So every little bit helps.
Are they changing to electronic ballast, or are these the old ballast, mechanical ballast?
They are, and some of the lights will go to LED on the outside of the building rather than fluorescent, so they'll be highly efficient too. So these will just be smaller tubed fluorescents here if they're not this way, and in the main office part too. They're all the big thick ones, and they'll change those all out to the smaller ones.
Great.
And then there's an unaudited county cash report, just to let you know where some of the money is and how it's being spent. And then did you want me to, I received an email and a letter. Do you want me to leave that for late received communications, Matt?
Is this the PS management one about the trailer park?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. You can address it now. That's fine.
Okay. I got a phone call a couple of days ago from a lady who lives, actually her and her husband live in San Luis, and they came down for the weekend to camp because they had a house full of people that needed a place to stay for Father's Day and graduations and things like that. So they stayed at one of the local mobile home parks, and they left a list of complaints with the management because apparently they're watering four nights a week, and they're, from the sounds of things, watering the whole park, vehicles included. And so they were extremely unhappy about all of that. I made a copy of the email that he sent, and then also a response letter that the park sent to them, which, you know, they were kind of looking for some feedback from us because we don't actually have any kind of a water conservation policy in place, and this couple was extremely unhappy with how much water was being used as well as misused, according to her. So I don't know if there's anything that the district can do to encourage people to further conserve water or what, but she was looking for some feedback from all of you.
Well, I think what will have to happen is, I think once we get into the summer and once Mr. Ogren is on board, we can start looking at any conservation measures and such. Other entities around us have taken those.
So yeah.
If the board's up for it and we see a need, you know, part of it's going to know, we don't have a crystal ball to know what's going to happen with our water usage over the summer. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's important is that she brought to our attention, you know, a lot of people's sprinklers go off at night when we don't see them, and we don't really take into consideration how much water is really being distributed at night.
Yeah, who goes around town at 11 o'clock at night looking to see whose sprinklers are going?
Don't ask me.
Not
but,
I.
But I think that just her, by taking the time to write it and to bring up the issue of sprinklers, that definitely will include, you know, taking things that aren't in sight into consideration.
Yeah.
When we put those things, all those things together.
Yeah.
So I'd like us to see, maybe if we have time, to send her a letter and say, thank you for bringing this to our attention, and it is something that isn't necessarily discussed a lot when we talk about conserving, besides, you know, don't let your water run out of your yard. But if you're asleep, you don't know if it's running out of the yard or not.
Yeah. I think we should delete. I don't know if you want to attach this to the minutes, but if so, we should delete their personal information, address, and email address.
Right. Yeah. I'll make sure that that's edited out before I attach it to the minutes.
Thank you, Marie. We'll move on to item number 8, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Number 1, Director Angelo.
Yes. We attended the recent workshop in Napomo for the IWRM. And the
program provided a very detailed review of the maintenance that's going on over there. There was there were two people who applied to be on the committee. They're Oceana residents, Greg Cobb and John Carter. They'll be approved by the Board of Supervisors coming up soon. They also discussed the insurance situation regarding the levee overtopping, and there are details in that on the report as well. The beaver dams did come up. The county is evaluating the flood hazard of the beaver dams that are there, and if any are considered a threat to the flow, then they will be removed prior to storm. Director Lucy, I don't have paperwork answer for you regarding the money, but I did want to get back to you. I got a verbal response at least, and I'm waiting for a copy of the line items. But the money does go to the RCD agreement. They take care of the staffing, or at least the minutes and the agendas. It goes to the vegetation maintenance and the goats and the willow trimming, the levee maintenance and repairs of the flap gates, staff time, and they are setting aside money for the waterway management plan. So,
can I ask you a couple questions?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of feel like they missed their mark on this one, because I've been complaining about the same beaver dam for now 3.5 years. I looked back on the record, and the same beaver dam I have complained about for the last 3.5 years, and I've gotten multiple answers as to that dam. Now the beaver has shifted the flow of the creek. What's trickling through the creek is now shifted into the tulies, and the creek is trickling around the dam. So it looks more like a bike path. It's taller, probably. The levee probably sits up a little bit higher, but the dam would hold out way longer than the levee would. And so now my understanding is that you have to get an emergency permit where if it had been addressed sooner and it had not changed the flow of the creek, that it could have just been dealt with. And so I kind of see that that's preventive things that we can do that, you know, turn into a crisis. I realize that, you know, it's hard to get down to that particular beaver dam, but just listen for the ducks, because the ducks can get there just fine, and then you can weave your way down into there. So the people who live in Zone 1-1A, when they were given that assessment in the county, everybody voted, and unfortunately it wasn't divided up countywide or anybody who benefited from the creek. They were assured that the maintenance of that dam, that creek, would be sustained. And I have to tell you is that I spent 2 weekends down there. I have been in more camps, homeless camps, areas that have been destroyed with clothing and debris and trash, and it's horrible. And people spray painting on the fences, and people squirreled up underneath the bridges, and it's really, really sad. I didn't feel like my safety was at risk. I felt that the people who had been charged with managing the debris along the creek had failed. That's how I felt. And it's not just small encampments either. They're extremely large. So I'd ask that you take that back to Zone 1-1A and ask them if they can include the garbage with the debris that they're cleaning up.
Okay. I do know that it was mentioned during the meeting, but I will have to...
I have lots of pictures if you need them.
Okay. I have heard about... I know you mentioned it, and they were talking about it at the meeting, that there are a lot of people down there, and there are a lot of issues.
Every sign that says, you know, keep out along the levee has been spray painted.
Yeah. But I will bring it back for you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anything else, Ms. Blackburn?
No.
Okay. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District last Wednesday. That was June 18th. The main agenda item was to review the proposed final budget. That is currently set for public hearing on July 2nd. That's next Wednesday. If anybody has any concerns or that should be addressed, you can come on July 2nd for the public hearing. I did have a number of concerns. I did want to update the board that the Carter versus Wallace, which was the lawsuit regarding the flooding by the homeowners near the sewer plant after the 2010, has been settled. Some awakening or that possibly the sewer plant may need to move if we want to do that in order to do some recycling projects. And it might be 20 years from now, but or longer, but that in order to meet the needs of the community for generations to come and to recycle water, we may need to move the sewer plant in order to pond or to recharge the basin or whatever it is that we're going to do, and we may need to move it off the coast, so out of Oceano possibly.
Would you then recycle all the water?
Yeah.
Or would you have a huge pipeline to the ocean?
Those details, there's no details that are worked out yet. And so the answer is a definite maybe.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to move it in 20 years anyway, at 2 inches a year.
Right. With seawater rise and such, it's anticipated. You know, we don't know what the future holds, but we're going to be dealing with these issues for generations to come. So.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask Jennifer's kids who were here. They'll remember this meeting, and they can tell us what happens in 30 years. Yeah. That's all my report. I'll move to Ms. Lucy.
President Groh, can I ask you about the impending state fine?
Yes.
The $1.1 million. My understanding, if we just keep that suspended, it could just go on forever and ever and ever. That can't possibly be true.
No. What has happened is currently it's not accruing any interest. And the time clock for the appeals process has not started, and I may misquote this, but because the administrative agency that oversees the appeal has not certified that the file is complete. And so until they do, that'll trigger the clock for the actual administrative hearing. And so even though it's been about a year since... it was submitted. It's probably even been more than that. I don't have the exact date in my head, but it's been around a year. Nothing has happened. So basically nothing is happening right now. The money is still sitting in the reserves, or the reserves are still there. It is a line item identified in the budget that this is a potential expense that's been out there. The state has not shown any interest in negotiating the fine, so it's sort of status quo. The interesting thing is, as I understand, and my information here again is not good, but that they're moving to change the procedure for future spills and violations in the appeals to make it a much shorter time, so that situations like what has happened with us don't happen again. So.
Yeah, and now that the Coastal Commission has the ability to attach the dollar to the penalties, everybody had best be careful.
Everybody better be careful. That's right. Ms. Lucy?
I attended the IRWM plan, the Interregional Master Water Plan for the state, with Lori and Jennifer joined us there as well. I think it is good. I was sad to see that there wasn't a lot of public there, but there's not a lot of people who would probably sign up to read 800 pages of protocol and then put their input into it. So I've been reading that. I attended the Board of Supervisors last week because not too long ago the Department of Public Works had released funding for shovel-ready projects. I think it was probably right around, I don't want to quote how much it was. It was a few million, but it was a very, very short turnaround. The state just gave basically everybody a week to be ready, and so the projects that were picked that Director Angelo had alluded to are five projects in there. A couple are on the Central Coast, and I would have rated them very high myself as well. So hearing the Board of Supervisors discuss their interpretation of that funding and the projects that were funded helped me to see a little bit clearer their thought process. They didn't see it as any new sources of water coming in. They saw it as linking different sources to be able to get water from one area to another area to another area, and I thought that was pretty interesting. They also gave Mr. Ogren a resolution proclamation. Mm-hmm. He gave a brilliant speech. I applaud you. So it was an eye opener. And I've attended a couple other meetings, but I'll report on them later.
Ms. White?
Yes, I have Five Cities Fire Authority, Oceano Advisory, and a little bit on water. Five Cities Fire Authority Board of Directors. I keep writing these because it makes more sense if I write them ahead of reading them. Five Cities Fire Authority Board of Directors and staff continues the process to seek a new fire chief. Will be the topic at a meeting on Friday, June 27th. It also was discussed at a special meeting on June 18th. At the 18th meeting, the board passed the yearly resolution declaring weeds and vegetation on certain properties to be public nuisances and healthy communities. County Health.
Yeah, and
County Health student project or something.
Philip Brennan.
Was it the one we heard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I wasn't very nice to him.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, and a conditional use permits proposed to construct wireless facilities with 9 panel antennae at about 60 feet hidden as a tall fake broadleaf tree located at 2250 72nd Street near the bridge. So they're going to put up a big antenna and make it into a fake tree. Yeah. The San Luis County planners also presented a proposed amendment to two county ordinances to establish new landscaping requirements and other changes for all new construction, remodeling, and additions. At first reading, these appear to be extreme, requiring, as an example, all ultra-low water planting and a variety of other water conservation efforts. I understand that the threat of drought is a long-range issue, but it appears they are responding to the short-term water situation today without considering the overall picture. I don't know what ultra-low water plants are except cactus succulents. And what type of trees, other than maybe yuccas and the scrub that covers the hills, I don't know. You know, ultra-low water is not going to give us an environment that is healthy, in my thinking. Anyway, the county planners, you can get information from the county planners. And members of the OCA are going to provide input. I've attended two water meetings focusing on use of Lopez Dam water as the dam level decreases. As far as I know, not many issues have been resolved. Mary Lucy may have more information, and I'm sure our new general manager will provide more input when he arrives on July 21st, as he is now dealing with this at the county level. And I want to say happy 4th of July, and please watch where you fire your illegal fireworks. Let's not start any fires. The fire agency will be watching and also hopes for a safe holiday. But they are not actually making giant attempts to control the illegal fireworks because it's impossible to do. But, you know, they will, if they find out where they came from, they will fine you. Mm-hmm. And if you start a fire, they will fine you too. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I did want to add a couple of things I forgot to mention. I just came back from the Chamber of Commerce meeting at the Arroyo Grande City Hall. I was contacted by Duke Sterling and a couple of other people who expressed some interest in Oceano and beautification of Oceano and the business community of Oceano. And they wanted to see what had happened to the Oceano Business District. I forgot what it's called. And they were asking for some ideas. Not on behalf of the board, but on behalf of myself and as a business owner, one of the things that I suggested was maybe the Chamber of Commerce invite the Oceano businesses to join them and expand the Grover Beach Arroyo Grande Chamber to include Oceano. And so they
some
may just, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Some businesses already belong.
Yeah, but to say Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano would I think be nice. But I'm just one vote. So
beautification when we're trying to save all the water we can save.
So maybe some cactus and some.
As a matter of fact, there is in today's newspaper a home in Morro Bay that is right up the street from me that they just completely re-landscaped, and it won't need any water, and it is stunning. It is beyond beautiful. And it's got cactus and succulents and yard art and little tufts of grass and big boulders, and it is outstanding.
And so speaking of the Tribune, this weekend there's supposed to be an article, a three-part article on gangs, and including local community impact, and myself and Mr. De Leon were interviewed regarding this, so I'd encourage everybody to take a look at that this weekend. Matt Fountain was writing that article, that series of articles, excuse me.
I think that Oceano does not need succulents and cactus. We're already stereotyped as a poor Latino community. And to add desert landscaping would just, in my feeling, increase the bigotry. So, I mean, I'd rather see concrete than some of that. And I have succulents and cactus and everything in my own yard and rocks.
Planetary service. Stating, I do not want your service, I don't use your service, I don't want your trash cans on my property, I recycle everything, I take care of it 100%. I have a whole, not that you'll be interested in it, but this whole folder is letters going back and forth, including letters from the tenants. I'll leave them here if you want.
No,
it's okay.
Yeah, quite thick. These are letters going back and forth. The Oceano Community Services District does a great job. Seriously, you on everything, and you have provisions for trash collection. Mm-hmm. The trash collecting people do a great job, I guess. I don't know because I don't use them. My issue, my problem I have, is with the mandatory, you must only use the South County Sanitary Service. Whether they collect the trash or not, whether you collect the trash or not, there are no South County Sanitary Service trash cans at my property. Sometimes I live there, sometimes I don't. If the tenants order it, that's a special, a separate contract with them. The mandatory part from the Oceano Community Services District should be to keep the property clean, not you must use this company, whether or not you have trash cans, whether or not you take care of your own trash or not. Got a bunch of pictures, which I'll also leave with you. The odd part about it is these pictures are about 14 years old. Okay. It's Fountain Avenue. There are dumpy, trashy houses there. There's trash all over the place. I don't want to have a picture of my house. My house is the one perfect house, the two of them. There, it's always clean. Anytime. There's no fences.
Can you use the microphone? They're having trouble picking you up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, sir.
There's no fences there. I would invite any of you to come out there at any time and take a look at it. There's a parallel thing going on here. By the way, half of these letters are from the South County Sanitary Service saying, if you don't pay, we're going to lien your property. Not only do I believe that they should not have this right to lien property when I'm taking care of all of my own trash, and again, please investigate this anytime you want. We have an airport strip there on the other side of Oceano next to the airport. For the past 20 years, I have maintained that, me, personally. I mow it. I pick up the trash about twice a year. Someone dumps a whole bunch of trash out there. The Oceano Community Services does not take care of it. The airport, San Luis Obispo Airport, does not take care of it. Definitely the South County Sanitary Service does not take care of it. Neither do the neighbors. I personally have been clearing that deal I set up with Paul Geimer, who used to head the airport years ago. I personally clean that. I have been mowing that and taking care of that for 20 years now. It took a lot. There was a period where the airport was not clearing their debris on their side of the fence. It took a whole bunch of letters and Kachu Asajian, who I think is a great guy, to get involved before they finally were forced to take care of the tremendous amount of weeds that just built up on their side.
Sir, I got to have you finish up.
I
got to have you finish up.
Okay, I'm requesting of you nice people to have a provision that allows someone who is exemplary to not be faced by letters from the South County Sanitary Service that they are going to lien my property for picking up trash, that they don't pick up any trash. There are no trash cans. There haven't been. And I think this should be stopped.
Mr. Bogdan, can I have you? And I'd have to. I haven't reviewed the statute to look at that to know. You know, I can't respond intelligently this evening about that. But perhaps
I right here for you.
But perhaps I could have you email Ms. McGrath with a proposed language on that, and that
I'd love
the board
to.
And the board could come back and consider it. I can't guarantee you what's going to happen with that, but if you'll email it to her, she'll forward it to me, and we can figure out if there's something to bring back to the board and have a discussion again, maybe at some other
point.
That's
most gracious. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Bogdan. I see Ms. Naylor. Good evening, ma'am.
Hi. I wanted to talk on the same subject, and I really believe that the gentleman's complaints are definitely legitimate because I can back up everything that he says in terms of being charged for trash receptacles that were never provided, being charged for garbage collection even when the garbage has not been collected. And when I say garbage, I said, well, what's this for? I just brought the bill current. And they said, oh, well, these are for, you know, penalty fees that you owed from 2 years ago. I've questioned their billing and whether their billing was accurate. At one point, a number of years ago, the office in Sacramento before they hightailed it out of California. I mean, Waste Connections is a statewide corporation that moved its headquarters from Sacramento out of state to Dallas. So I had an accounting person up there double-check my bill. He found a $50 overpayment, and then right after that, they moved out of the state just by chance because they said it was too much trouble to do business in the state of California. So I've had people tape record me without my permission because I'm challenging the bill. They've refused to provide my recycle can for a year. It'll be a year in July. I came home 2 weeks ago. The trash can had been, something happened to it. I think it was vandalized to where the wheels don't work. So if you've got a really heavy trash can, you can't pull the trash can. I had a woman who's handicapped who runs the One Stop in Arroyo Grande. I mean, she's got scoliosis, two canes to walk with, and she said her trash cans are in exactly the same condition, and they refuse to fix it. So there's a problem. There's a problem, and these are potential claims, only they refuse to identify where you send the summons and complaint to. You have to fight with them to say, who's the registered agent for Waste Connections? They've got three different titles, three different corporate names, still in the phone book.
Perhaps you could ask one of the gentlemen here this evening.
Thank you,
Ms. Naylor.
Yeah, you signed a contract with them. You need to make sure they adhere to the terms of the contract.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. We'll move to item number 10A, which is the 2014 public protest hearing for the imposition of liens for delinquent water charges. I'll note that we did not have any request for public comment. Is there any other protest this evening regarding this particular matter? I do note, actually, there's four particular properties. Does Miss Lucy, are you within 500 feet of these? I don't know if you're.
What's the address? This guy's like, he doesn't even live on the street anymore. No.
Okay. I know I'm not.
None of them are in Halcyon.
None of them are in Halcyon. I'm farther than 500 feet of each of these. So I don't see any conflicts then.
The Vaughn House is on 22nd Beach.
Okay, that's
23rd.
This notes that a demand letter for payment was sent to all property owners who have not paid water charges for at least 120 days. That was sent April 30th. We do have a thorough staff report. Ms. Ruiz wrote it. It's very well done. Is there any comment? Is there a motion? Actually, we're just having the. Let me check with Mr. Minery. Tonight's just the hearing. Do we need a motion?
No, you can at this point. You've already done by resolution. It's okay. Cited in the staff report. There was a resolution to cite these properties. This is just the public opportunity to comment or be heard on those matters. But at this point, you could by motion and vote. Direct staff to record the certificates on those particular properties.
Then I'll make that motion.
Second.
All right. Marie,
are you going to do them in a block?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Marie, will you do a roll call vote, please? I made the motion. Ms. White seconded.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right, motion carries by a vote of 5-0. Move on to item number 10B, which is the 2014 public protest hearing for the imposition of liens for delinquent trash charges. Again, we have the very similar staff report. We did hear two protests, one from Mr. Bogdan, one from Ms. Naylor. Is there any board discussion or is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we impose the liens for delinquent trash charges as listed on the agenda, 10A, 10B.
I second.
All right. Marie, can we get a roll call vote?
Who seconded?
I did.
Karen, thank you. Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes, that would carry by a vote of 5-0. Thank you. If you'll record that, Marie. Move on to item number 10C, public hearing for the proposed solid waste
role in the recommended rate increases this evening. So, Tom, if you go to the next slide. Report purpose was to analyze the rate increase requests for the four South County agencies, including the Oceano Community Services District. Next button. This is a joint review for the four agencies because you have similar services. In fact, you have the exact same services. You have similar franchise agreements. In fact, you have almost exactly the same franchise agreements. Similar rate methodologies. In fact, under the franchise agreement, the exact same rate methodologies. And the financial information is closely related for each agency. So kind of analyze the rate increase for one agency. You've really analyzed it for all of them. So economies of scale, my report covered all four agencies. Tom? So an overview of the findings. The trash company has provided all of the supporting documentation that's required for an intermediary request under your franchise agreement with them. And so my recommendation is to approve their application for a 2.05% rate increase. Next slide. Should point out you have an interesting feature in your franchise agreement. It's section 8.3. Doesn't really affect the methodology for what rate increase they are allowable for, but they would otherwise, under the rate setting methodology, actually be eligible for a rate increase that's slightly higher at almost 2.8%. They've requested a lower rate, and here's why. You have a provision in your franchise agreement that says if they request a rate that and you approve a rate that is higher than their cumulative CPI since you adopted that franchise agreement, you have the option within 9 months later of canceling and terminating the franchise agreement. That doesn't preclude them from submitting and asking for a larger rate increase, and it doesn't preclude you, if it's consistent with the methodology, from approving it. It does mean they put their franchise agreement at potential risk in doing that, because 9 months later you could terminate the agreement. So it's not a direct limitation on rate increases, but it's a powerful incentive for the trash company to want to stay within that parameter, because if they stay within that parameter, that takes away that option that you would have potentially. So powerful incentive for them to do that. Next slide, next button. So that amount that requires to avoid triggering that means they would have to ask for a 2.05% rate increase or less, and that's exactly what they've done. So based on the rate increase they have, that eliminates the possibility of that trigger. Next slide. The basis for the review is the rate setting manual adopted by the City of San Luis Obispo, and you have adopted this as the methodology by reference under your franchise agreement. Next slide. Really three kind of thought concepts in reviewing rates. So the first one is on their allowable costs, which is basically their cost of operations and maintenance, labor, vehicle maintenance and operations, fuel, landfill costs. The target is an 8% operating ratio on those allowable costs. They are allowed cost recovery but no profit on pass-through costs that aren't controlled by them, and the two major ones there are the tipping fees at the landfill and your franchise fee rate. They're not allowed to get any recovery at all for excluded costs, and that includes charitable and political contributions, any entertainment expenses, whatever income taxes they owe, they don't get recovery on that. And there are significant limits on officer compensation. In fact, about $300,000 of their operating costs that they would probably otherwise like to charge are actually excluded under the franchise agreement for recovering any profit on that. So those are the three concepts in terms of cost recovery methodology. Next slide. In implementing that basic concept, it's really a three-year cycle. And the base year, the first year of that cycle, requires a very comprehensive, detailed analysis of their revenues, expenses, and operating data. And the last base year analysis was done in December 2012. Next. For the next 2 years, which are called the interim years, in the second and third year, it's a more focused, straightforward analysis, really based on two factors. One, what has the consumer price index change been? And that gets applied only to their controllable costs. And then the next one is, have there been any increases in pass-through costs, which primarily is tipping fees? Those are the two factors we look at for interim year rate increases. Next slide. This is a rate-setting history over the last 10 years of what has happened with rate increases. One of the things that you'll notice is from 2008 to 2010, there were no rate increases requested by South County Sanitary Service at all. So that basically means you went 4 years without any rate increases at all. This year's interim rate increase, of course, is 2.05%. When you look at that and you average those out, next slide. In preparing the analysis, I took a look at a number of documents. I took a look at your franchise agreement, took a look at both base year and interim year rate reviews in the past, looked at the audited financial statements, and looked at all of the rate application supporting documentation that was presented by South County to make sure that it was everything that's required under the rate agreement and that they have correctly applied all of those different formulas and all of those different factors to the rate agreement. The short story is they've done everything that's required under the franchise agreement in terms of the documents they submitted. Next slide. So here's how we came up with what the allowable rate increase would be. When we look at those controllable cost factors where the CPI comes into place, well, those controllable cost factors represent about 80% of their total costs. So we discount for that. We take 81% of the 2%. So based on controllable cost increase alone, they'd be eligible for a rate increase of about 1.6%. Then we take a look at tipping fees, which the County of San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors recently approved a $2.25 per ton increase. That will result in an increase for tipping fee costs of a little under 5%. Well, that represents 18% of their costs. So they get an adjustment of 0.87% for those two factors. If you added those together, that would mean they'd be eligible for about a 2.5% rate increase. But then there's a 10% franchise fee on that added revenue. So we need to make an adjustment for that. And that basically is the simple math, or long story short, on how they would be eligible for a rate increase of 2.78%, which they would be under the rate setting methodology adopted in your franchise agreement. They could ask for 2.78%, which of course they haven't done, next slide, because they want to avoid that trigger. And if we look at what that trigger has been, if we look at the cumulative CPI increase, that's 8.7%. And subject to that trigger, they've already received 6.65%. This would leave them to avoid that trigger of 2.05%. And this is what they have asked for in order to avoid the trigger provisions of your franchise agreement. Next slide. Some things to consider for the future. First off, there's no provision for retroactivity, so it is important to act on rate applications in a timely way. Now, in this case, they submitted their application in September of 2013, so why is it June before this is brought before you? And that's because there was some dispute between the county and Waste Connections regarding the landfill rate increase, and so this has been sort of put and been inferred until those issues have been resolved, which they have been on May 13th. The county approved actually a 9-year rate agreement with Waste Connections that basically, in order to cover the cost of the landfill expansion, means a $2.25 per ton increase over the next, since one has happened, over the next 8 years from this point forward. There's good news and bad news in that. The good news is you now have a very stable idea of what landfill costs are going to be, because it's going to be $2.25 per year, which is fairly modest, and over time as a percentage increase that actually is only going to go down. Of course, the bad news is you know there are going to be rate increases at the landfill, and those would be things that the trash company could ask for recovery on. I think you can probably expect you'll be seeing some kind of very modest rate increase, a request from South County to cover at least their landfill costs for the next 8 years. The good news is it's going to be very stable, very predictable in terms of what that's going to be. The other recommendation is there is a 45-day notice for review and adoption in order to have that January 1st date. When the rate manual was first approved, this 45-day rate increase period was not in place. That didn't happen until 1996 with the adoption of Proposition 218. So in order to make sure we can do these rate increase reviews on a timely basis allow for that 45-day review notice, my suggestion is that South County Sanitary District Service should submit their rate application actually in August in order to make sure there's enough time that you can adopt and review that for rates to be effective in the following January. But setting that aside, you don't control when they ask for the rate increase, so that's kind of their call when they submit. But what I do believe is we should consistently use June to June in calculating the annual increases and the cumulative calculations, because the rate manual says they should always use the most recent period. Well, you don't want that to change, and sometimes it's May to May, sometimes it's July to July, sometimes it's August to August. We should always have a consistent basis. But in order to facilitate a potential application of August, my recommendation is we should consistently use June to June. In this past case, it really wouldn't have mattered what particular period they use because inflation has been so consistent, but it could be a bigger factor in the future. So my recommendation is doesn't really affect this year's review, but in the
Tom Martin from the Garbage Company. I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce Pat Fenton. He's the district manager for the hauling companies, and I am retiring in March of 2015. You'll see less and less of me and a whole lot more of Pat, so I'm going to let him run you through the Coal Canyon stuff, and then we'll both be available for questions.
Great. Thank you, Tom.
Good evening. Thanks for having me tonight. I'll be working with Tom for the remaining portion. So together, if there's anything you need, I'm still learning something. So we'll get through this together. One of the things you talk about all the numbers all the time, but there's some things it's a bigger picture when we start talking about these increases, and we just want to show you a couple of things that you may not be aware of when we're putting these things together. So next slide. As was mentioned, the landfill increase, as part of this increase, for our customers, 0.96 is from the landfill. That's the pass-through. And the collection, that's our operating costs. So what does all these operating costs mean? Well, there's a lot of things in play here. We have to deal with the Air Board in California with the air emission standards, and those things are pretty expensive, especially when you're dealing with the trucks we have. Obamacare, insurance has gone way up with significant things. But just the general operating costs, and we've limited down, down to about a 1% as part of this 2.05 increase. So that's where some of that's coming from. Next slide. Some of the things that, when you see the increase at the landfill, this shows you some of the things that we're having to deal with that are beyond our control. We have no say in this. These are the environmental things we have to deal with. If you look at some of these things, like the legless lizard monitoring plan, that's $14,000. We don't have a choice in this. The roosting bat monitoring plan, another $14,000. See, these are some of these costs that get passed on to us. That's these landfills, and we have to deal with all these environmental conditions. So, just wanted you to be aware of some of those. You can direct us to go to any landfill you want. There's been some concern that, Waste Connections has the landfill and the garbage company. That's true, but you can direct us to go to any landfill you want. But if you look at that slide and look at the landfills in the area compared to the Coal Canyon landfill, which is ours, that's $36.50 a ton. Obviously, that's the cheapest place to go. And some of these other landfills, if we were to go to them, then there's, even more of an increase in fuel, depending on how far we have to go. So we wanted you to see this. Yes, we have it, but, we're keeping these rates. Our rates are your rates, so you're not going to be able to beat that. If you go to the gate, it's 70. So that we wanted you to be aware of that. That's one of the reasons our rates are so low. Next slide. Oh, that should be it. If there's any questions for Tom and I, we'll be glad to answer them. Thanks again.
Well, no. How about the board ask a few questions?
I'll start at this end, Karen.
Yeah, that 205 is across the board for everybody.
Yes.
Because I live in a small area of the Oceana Community Services District that has a different garbage rate than the one here for Oceana.
Is that?
Arroyo Grande, Coral Beach, everybody's the same.
Yeah, I'll do that for Tom. But we've been to, you know, to all the cities. It's 2.05%.
We're not a city.
I'm sorry.
But the increase for everybody is 2.05.
Everybody is 2.05.
My bill, which is different than her bill, although we have the same service, will go up 2.5.
2.05.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a couple questions. It was one, I wanted to get a little bit of clarification short of reading the agreement, but do you have an option to opt out of trash services? I mean, you have an option to opt out of water services and sewer services, you know, so...
That's a better question for your council. My understanding of it is that in Oceano, it's developed property. So if the property is developed, you're required to have garbage service. So if 80% of the cost of garbage service is driving the trucks down the street, if you want to start granting exemptions... That's within the board parameter. I'm sure you'd have to change the ordinance and do some other things.
If it wasn't such a monopoly, then I could see that policy, but it certainly is clearly a monopoly. So
decision saying everybody has to subscribe, and the place got a lot cleaner. So, yeah. I mean, you know,
and
certainly
I'm not opposed
you can grant
to
exemption.
That if you have a choice. You know, if you have a choice of companies, then I'm not opposed to that kind of policy. But like you said, that's something that we have to deal with our policies.
You do, but the idea that you can have a choice of garbage companies, garbage trucks cost $330,000 a piece, and you are not going to have four different companies driving down the 1,700 customers in Oceano streets. I just
looking
that
at
just
addresses,
isn't practical.
Trying to figure out who's
and
who.
And nobody
right.
would be able to do it for the prices that we do it for now. It just
right.
That's not even very practical, to be honest with you.
No.
Giving the homeowner the option, as the gentleman requested, that if he maintains his property cleanly and somebody inspects it yearly and says, A-okay, this guy's doing a perfect job, and if you want to grant that person an exemption, there's a legal means to do that, and I'm sure it requires an ordinance change or something along those lines, but then you get to the question of how many are you going to let opt out?
Right.
And what are they doing with it?
So when we get to that point in our policies, we'll make sure we contact somebody from you and discuss it in depth, what we come up with. Wait a minute. I have,
Ms. Naylor, if you're going to continue to interrupt, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. So I need you to, it's somebody else's turn.
So secondly is that the quality of the cans, I mean, I'm at my house, I'm burning through two cans a year. You know, and the quality keeps getting worse and worse. Definitely the wheels are falling off. You know, and I understand, too, is that for senior citizens who can't drag their cans out, you guys, they come up and they pick them up right at their house. So that's not an issue for people who are living with disabilities. But also, is it very, very clear where people, if they have a protest on their services or something like that, that it's clearly stated where they can send their correspondence to or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a notice that goes out, a Prop 218 notice. It's kind of a standard format that goes out to everybody. And in terms of the Prop 218, they send it to your clerk, and those are
right.
sort of noted.
But I'm just saying, you know.
Our phone number's on the side of the can.
Right.
Call us. If anybody has wheels that aren't working on the trash can, call me tomorrow morning.
You know what? I've never had a problem getting a new can, and I've probably gone through at least 10 of them. So, you know, you move very quickly. I've never picked up trash in the street. You know, I'm very, very personally, as a consumer, happy with your services.
Yeah, I just want to point out that one of the costs of going to automated collection, where we don't have two guys manually throwing cans in the back of the truck, is that the mechanized arm that goes out and picks them up is very hard on the when it sets it down, sometimes it's slamming those wheels. So in essence, it's our trucks.
It's always the same parts. It's always the same parts
that
break.
It's our trucks that are breaking the wheels. So if we
it's
break
the
them, we're going to
It's always
come fix
the left
it.
Handle and then it's the right wheel.
Yeah, and it's because of the way the truck deals with it. But it's a trade-off between the labor and the workers' compensation cost
right.
of having manual collection versus having an automated truck that,
yeah, God forbid,
you know,
a human
that beats the hell
right.
out of the yeah. equipment.
Okay, and then my last question to you is that, and I'm not sure if there's another Coal Canyon dump center or something, but Coal Canyon rates the lowest in this country as far as environmental violations, and I want to know if is it this Coal Canyon they're talking about, because it keeps stating in California, because every report that I read, it says California. I can't get in any deeper. I thought, well, maybe there's more than just one, you know.
Well, there's a cold water canyon in Los Angeles.
Is that what they're talking about?
But there's no landfill in Coldwater Canyon, because that's in the high-priced stuff down by Malibu.
No, they're talking about a landfill.
Yeah, Cold Canyon landfill's been around since 1963. The state of California uses us as the training ground for their inspectors because we have gas extraction systems, we have recycling systems, we have MRFs.
Right.
And we don't get many notice of violations. So,
it can't
they
be
like
yours
to train
they're
their
talking
guys
about.
There. So, yeah, I'm sure it's us. I'll take credit. Sure, it's us.
No, you don't want to take credit for this one, Ben.
No.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tom.
Ms. Angelo?
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question. You're talking about residential. Is there also an increase for the commercial?
Everything is going up 2.05%
okay.
across the board for every rate that's on the rate schedule.
Okay, I thought so, but I just wanted to make sure.
Jennifer, do you have any?
No, my questions have been answered.
Okay. And I want to thank Mr. Statler. He answered my questions before I asked him. You answered them in your presentation. So
do you have a question or
no? No, I said thank you. It was really well done. I appreciate the thoroughness of the presentation. And, yeah.
Just to...
Can you answer this question?
I don't. While we're talking about the 2.05%, you know, relating to everyone, actually, of the four cities I've looked at, you will be the last ones to adopt the 2.05% rate increase. And I believe two other, counties scheduled to look at it themselves in July, and two other agencies, Avila Beach Community Service District has already approved it, and Napomo Community.
President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes, that motion carries by a vote of 5-0. The resolution does pass. If you could number it, and I'll come in and sign it this week. Does anybody want to take a break? It's 10
yes.
minutes to 8. Why don't we
yeah.
take a break until 8 o'clock, and we'll
yeah.
restart right at 8 o'clock. Thank you. engineer proposals for generator. We do have a staff report on this. I don't know if Tony has any thing to add. This looks like a couple of options for us. And this is to spec out the generator, if I'm not mistaken. That's correct. Looks like one option is from JMPE, a flat fee of $1,450. The other option was from Wilson Engineering, which I didn't see a dollar amount attached to, unless I misunderstood it. Oh, I'm sorry, $8,640. I'm sorry. The reason I got confused because it said client was DPSI, Diversified Project Services, on the back through us.
Yes, it's going through DPSI on that electrical engineer, and there would be an $800 bill to our engineer also for being involved.
Okay. But it looks like the lower rate is the JMPE for $1,450.
That's correct. And if there's any additional work, he would have to get it approved.
Okay.
That's what it states in there. And if you look at the scope of work, they are very similar.
It's a significant price difference.
The reason there's not a third bid on there is because that quote is under the $7,500.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do we know anything about JMPE? Are they qualified to do the work? I mean, they're bidding it. It's such a significant price difference.
Absolutely. They actually worked with one of the, it's the CAT generator.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a lot of work with them. That's where I got the recommendation from.
Okay.
When I was getting the different quotes from the different generators.
Those are all my questions. Anybody else have any questions for Tony?
Tony, JMPE came out and did a site visit, is that
absolutely
correct?
Absolutely. I met with the gentleman myself, yes.
And how do you think that did? Do you think he was well informed as to what we were looking for, and did you think he would do what you told him to do? Really?
Yes, I do believe that. And the other thing he was requesting from us was the prints to the sheriff's station, so you can see the diagrams and how the electrical set up in there. That's what he would request to also do the job.
Does he have Homeland Security clearance?
I escorted him myself.
Yeah, I was kind of liking the JMPE one a little bit better because they would work collaboratively with you, because
yes,
that's a project that will be seen by your field staff, you and your staff, and there wasn't an in-between person, I guess, would be the engineer.
It's $1,450, like I think like Tony points out, we're under the $7,500. Even if it doubles, we're still significantly cheaper than the,
yes,
the other bid.
Yeah.
So. And he's representing himself to be qualified to do this. So, to me, it seems a fairly simple decision. Anybody disagree about giving it to JMPE?
No.
Is that what the staff's recommendation is?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I'll move to support staff's recommendation for JMPE.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Good luck, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
We'll move on to the final item, which is item 10F, the adoption of the preliminary budget for 2014-2015. There was a staff report that was prepared by Ms. McGrath.
Very nice, Marie.
Very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There is another little addition to that that just came across my email this afternoon. And that would be a bill for dispatch for last year for $18,000+.
Okay. That's for the fire dispatch, correct?
Correct. And it was my understanding that that was supposed to have been included in that $20,000 increase the first year. So I think I might need to go back and listen to some of the recordings, because, Matt, didn't you think the same thing?
Yeah. I can't say specifically anymore.
Well, yes. I remember asking about it.
Why don't we leave that out? Again, a budget is a proposed spending plan.
Pardon that?
This budget is a proposed spending plan.
Right.
I do also note that the 2.05% increase to garbage is consistent with the 2% increase to the fire authority. I did also want to... what Mr. Statler was saying was something that rang true to me about, you know, increases being anticipated and being periodic rather than instantaneous large increases. At the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, I think our core function is we're a small water company. you can see from this budget that our water fund will be in deficit as it currently sits, and we'll be drawing on reserves. One of the interesting things about Oceanos, as everybody knows, is that we have water entitlements which expire every year because we haven't had any way of saving them or haven't done things to save our particular entitlements. And so if you liken this to a grocery store, for example, half of our stock would be expiring every year without customers buying it. And so, and that's one of the things that we need to, I'm not suggesting we sell off our water rights, but one of the things we need to look at doing is having a rate structure which supports the spoilage, shall we call it, and or selling more water to outside entities. And I've had some discussions with Rick Sweet, who is the plant administrator for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, and he knew of some entities that were looking for water. And so, anyway, once next month comes around and we have Mr. Ogren on board, we can maybe start looking at some ways to move some more of our product. And so Marie and I were having a similar discussion today about the fact that, you know, Grover, Roy Grandy, Napomo, are really pumping to the edge of their ability and their entitlements, and so it's something for us to think about. The jello is not fully hard for me on what I'm trying. I don't have a proposal. I don't have an agenda. I'm just identifying that there's potential sources of income here for the district to protect the ratepayers.
There is potential, but it has to do with what time of the year and the order on which source is released. Like right now, we do have water, but we're only getting a certain amount out of Lopez right now,
right,
which is causing us to do heavy groundwater pumping. So we do have to look at the order in which our entitlements come. We don't know what the state's doing,
right,
and we don't know if we don't know where the political battle on surplus is, and so it is.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a conundrum right now. We don't, you know, did the apples get put before the cart, or what happened, and how can we get our full demand out of those pipes?
One of the things that I'm really looking forward to is Mr. Ogren's experience. And
so am I.
It was interesting. I don't mean to belabor this discussion, but Arroyo Grande, Mayor Ferrara, at the Sanitation District last week was talking.
Kind of, they have.
I think the bill should be
sent. Bill.
Right, nobody's going to pay it without a bill.
Well, right, and I'll check and make sure and get it taken care of this week.
Thank you, Marie.
And then also too, is if there's going to be an increase in some of those organizations that we do administrative services for, such as the SAN district, that we, if there's an increase 218 attached, then we need to increase our billing as well. So if they're going for a 2% increase in fees, then we need to have a 2% increase in our services or some formula.
Okay. I don't know how those are calculated. We actually tried to figure out what it cost us to do the billing for the sanitation district, and because of our software program, we ended up with much higher numbers than either Arroyo Grande or Grover. And so there was a compromise on that
right.
I guess I'm okay with, given what we were getting compared to what we are getting.
Yeah, we were getting like $1,200 a year or something, if we were lucky at that. It
was a minimal amount. Yeah, and I don't even remember when they last paid, because I couldn't find it on the books anyplace, but it doesn't mean it didn't happen. So it's better than it was. And, you know, if they're going to get an increase, maybe we're entitled to one, too. You know, that brings up the whole thing about increases. The garbage company talked about overhead costs, state water overhead costs increase. We don't see any change in what goes out to the ratepayers, yet we spend more money on water every year, and it's becoming a big issue as a result of it.
Right.
You know.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course,
how we take our water. You know, we're doing a lot of pumping right now. This month's PG&E bill is up over $9,000, so that represents over $3,000 a month increase in the electricity bill to pay for the pumping that we're doing. And, you know, I'm sure we're not going to do that all year long, but it's $3,000 plus a month that actually is not in the budget.
And another part of that discussion is motors that are inefficient electrically, that don't have a variable frequency or a soft start.
Right.
You know,
and of course, all the motors are old, and some of them have been rebuilt. But the ones that haven't been, even the ones that have been, they're real old workhorses. But if they break down, then we're down a motor, we're down a well, whatever, until we can get them fixed. So it's this mixed bag about, you know, how the money's spent. And even though we've worked on energy audits and updating things, and the county has an energy audit that we're still working on together, and maybe some of these things can be taken care of, I don't know yet, but I'm hoping that in all of that, that there will be some changes and some upgrades and maybe some savings in how much it costs to operate. You know,
because we're putting out $1 million a year for water, and it's not happening.
Yeah,
it's just not happening. The pumps are going.
Yeah.
And the quality of the water, I mean, people are complaining. I'm complaining.
Well, we did.
I made the mistake of changing my hot tub out this week. And now it feels like I filled my hot tub full of, I don't know what happened.
Well, they were doing some line flushing last week, and we did get two or three calls about the brown water, and it moves its way out, but when you're flushing lines, that's what ends up happening. And so we still have to flush them.
Mine feels like my hot tub got lined with sandpaper. I mean,
I
it took
you
the
watered
skin
your
off
yard.
Me. Yes, I always recycle my water. When it's raining, I actually capture it too. Hasn't done that for a while.
My barrels are dry too, Mary.
I will note that the adoption of the preliminary budget tonight, we will have a board meeting on August 27th to adopt a final budget, and that will offer the opportunity for the public to appear and be heard regarding any item in the budget or regarding any additional items, and the notice will be published prior to July 1st, which is Tuesday, because we do have a notice requirement for the adoption of the final budget. So, our bylaws require that we have it adopted by September 1st, I think, is the date.
I think that's when it is. Yeah. So we have time for the public hearing and to get all our ducks in a row.
The one thing I wanted to say, too, is I think it's good that we try to make a policy that we don't borrow from other funds, but I think that I think it might be a little dangerous to tie your hands by saying, to make a motion to not touch the garbage fund when we might have a crisis on our hands or something, and now your hands are tied and you can't borrow from the garbage fund. So I think it's a wise thing to say, you know, we don't want to borrow from any fund for another fund, but sometimes you have.
And so prior to that, they pretty much were using up all the franchise fees from the garbage company within the district. And so we've gotten a better handle on how we distribute wages and issues to those fees. And so that fund will probably dwindle as a result of, you know, using the, you know, allocating the expenses more accurately. So the guys spend a lot of time in the alleys that is related to garbage. There's a big dumpster at the yard that is related to garbage. Those things are all going towards that fund now.
We're getting more sophisticated, I think.
We are getting more sophisticated.
And our big
yes.
cleanup that we try to do, that does that come out of that fund or another fund?
You know, I don't believe anything came out of the fund for that other than a small payment, because that big cleanup that was done was hugely volunteer. You know, there was very, very little that was expensed to the garbage fund as a result of that. So,
right.
We should have another, though.
Okay.
I see Karen over there twitching. Anything you want to add to this?
Is she trying not to laugh?
No, she's fine.
Okay. Jennifer, anything you wanted to add to this, or is there a motion? You're the last one.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I have a little bit of a list, so if you want to go
ahead. Also, too, as I saw requests from the fire department for a 2% increase, and I wanted to know, do we have the tax revenue for that increase, or is that supposed to just come out of paychecks, or like where is that supposed to come from?
We don't have it for their 2% increase, and we also don't have it to cover the bill that I just was emailed today for the dispatch for last year. We don't have the property tax revenue to support it.
How come we're just getting the bill now? I thought it would be billed on a monthly cycle or something.
No. Director Angelo, I was positive that I had heard that it was supposed to be taken care of. You know, that first year they asked and got a $20,000 increase. And I believe the verbal commitment was made that they'd take care of dispatch for last year. But I have to find it to make sure. Because even if they do pay for last year, what about this upcoming year? Yeah. You know, if we are going to be billed for dispatch, then it has to be in that budget, and it's not there. Mm.
Did the bill come from Five Cities Fire Authority or Grover Beach?
You know, it was in my email this afternoon. It came from Mary, so I think it came from Five Cities Fire Authority.
It would be, yeah.
Yeah. So.
I can find out.
Yeah.
I will.
It's a large question mark in my mind at this point. I don't want to say something and then turn out to be wrong.
That was actually one of my questions, Director Lucy. I did notice, on page 5, I think we forgot to add the Parks and Rec to the services. I think Director White had mentioned that at the last meeting. On page 5 of the budget.
That'd be at the end of the first paragraph.
Yeah.
Is the whole Parks and Rec?
It just says it lists our services, the services that we provide, and it left out. It previously had left out Parks and Recreation, and I think it was mentioned at the last meeting.
Okay.
I noticed too that on page 23 that AGP was not added back in. Am I remembering incorrectly? Did we say to go ahead and add it back in for now?
We said to leave it.
Okay. Wait, to leave it at.
Leave it in.
Leave it in. Okay. Right. So then that one is currently at $4,000. It's for admin account 220.
So AGP runs 13 to 15 a year, depending on whether we run into overtime, roughly.
I think it was 13,100. That's the number that's
something
on the
like
top
that.
Of my head.
So,
yeah, I think
if we increase that line item by $10,000, it will cover AGP, but it won't, you know, cover too much of anything else.
Right. I think without AGP, I left 4,000. Should we just put it back up to last year's 17,195? It included AGP, and I think
we can do that.
Enough for the extras.
That's a good placeholder.
Okay. on page 42, for the water income, the water revenues, the amount for rental income was just off by a little bit. It was also in the sewer income, just the numbers didn't match up from here.
Yeah, I had a question if there was any more money we could squeeze out of the county. Because we don't get any sales tax. Well, I know. They take that money and use it for sheriff and planning, don't they?
I'm not sure about the process. So,
I'm not either. I just like to see how much the county gets from us and how much we get back from it.
I'm willing to leave it in there if we can look into that amount that we receive.
Yeah, and the fire authority is cutting. They're cutting their stuff as best they can too.
They're looking at losing staff members.
Well, right. Beyond losing the staff, they're also looking at ways to cut other things.
Right.
They've taken the budget and cut what they could.
The thing that I don't understand is
the JPA or fire is supposed to be supported with property taxes, and we don't have enough to cover what they're asking us for, what is the district's obligation? I mean, where does the money come from to give them more if that's what the determination is? Can we give them water and sewer money? Can we give them garbage money? I mean, I don't know
what
the answer
is. Can we refuse to give them
2%?
Pardon me? Tell them we can't.
Pardon me?
They have a very organized, good grant. You know, they have a policy where they get together, the guys at the fire department, and they apply to various grants. We should follow their model.
And the last two got turned down from beaches and parks.
But the feds always increase the availability of grants.
Well, they do. The fire authority does check for grants, and that's how they got a lot of their equipment and such.
Well, Karen, I see that this is probably going to cause a little bit of stir. Sometimes, you know, this is what happens when you live next to neighbors who have more resources, more stuff than other communities. You know, you're scrambling to keep up with the Joneses, basically.
It's kind of like the same thing with the NCMA, isn't it, Mary?
You said it, not I. But, you know, if we're not going to get an increase in property taxes, then towards the fire department, I don't see how where we can pull it from. But all I can do is ask the fire authority to continue investigating third-party billing. It's just like a sieve, you know, the medical calls that they have to respond to and how costly they are and covering, you know, state parks. We're paying right for the park out there out of our pocket. So when do we start billing the park?
That is the problem.
You know?
Does this sound like a conversation
so,
that was already had
I
today?
Mean,
a quarter of the calls from May, I've got the report there, May 14th to
October.
June 11th. That's the last month. A quarter of the calls were to Cal Fire area.
Yeah.
22 to the beach, several to Pismo. I think there was 8 to Pismo Beach for mutual aid, Upper Roy Grande and Napomo. And I think until that can be resolved in some way, we're going to, I mean, because 25% is lost. 25% of, in a sense, it's lost because there wouldn't be 25 calls. They wouldn't, or 25% of the calls. They wouldn't have the expense. I mean, a fire truck doesn't. It runs on a lot of gasoline or diesel. And staff is staff, and you know there are things that a fire department can't cut. But it really frustrates me, and the fact that beaches and parks won't give us any grants or any money or anything. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
Well, this is the preliminary budget. This is not an adoption of the final budget.
Well, and even after the final budget's adopted, the numbers
can still be modified.
Well, the numbers are going to change. We did quarterly budget adjustments
right
throughout all of last year, and I'm sure we'll continue to do that this next year because
Individual board members and staff may come with recommendations that involve cuts or additions to the budget, of course.
Yeah.
This is
and just
a living document.
And for the board, the government code requires you to adopt a preliminary budget by July 1, so tonight would be the last meeting that you'd have to do that. And what that does is it sets a procedure in place where you publish notice for hearing on a final budget. So I understand there's been some changes. We clear on this. Would you make the motion to adopt the resolution, the draft resolution, pursuant to the numbers that were changed today? So it's clear that we have a resolution.
Yeah. She said as modified.
So. Oh, great. Thank you.
Okay. Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Guerrero.
I'll agree as well. That carries by a vote of 5-0. Utility items, none. Item 12, closed session, none. Receive written communications. We did have that later.
I have a question about closed session.
Please.
Are we ever going to do the MOU, or are we waiting for them? Or are they waiting for us? Or we're just going to have a good old standoff?
We will have a closed session at the next meeting.
Okay.
I received some communication yesterday, so it's too
late
to get
great.
To.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Received written communications. We did have that regarding the campground. Future agenda items. I can't think of anything. Let's keep it
laterals.
Lean.
Laterals.
Laterals.
Laterals, yeah.
Yep, that's on there.
It's on there. And at next board meeting, I plan on bringing back a new fee schedule for us that shows the addition of the collections for South County Sanitation District so they get their connection fees.
Great.
Which was what you directed me to do, so that'll be on the next budget.
Right. And that was, that really stems, in case anybody doesn't know, that there's a $2,500 connection fee for the sanitation district that was not getting collected, and some people had gotten away from Oceano from paying what was due to the plant. So.
Yeah, there's direction on our will serve letters that they're supposed to go over there and pay their fees, but apparently some people
nobody
didn't
did
do that.
Yeah.
Nobody followed up.
Yeah, nobody
and
read
so,
the rest of the letter.
And so we're going to start collecting them as and passing them through to the...
Which is what Grover and Arroyo Grande do.
Right.
So the last item is adjournment. It is 8:30.
Can I make a couple announcements first?
Yes, please, Karen. Please do.
Yes. Assemblyman Cacho Asagian and state license board people are inviting seniors to a senior scam stopper meeting Wednesday, July 9th from noon to 2 p.m. at the Oceano Central Coast Senior Center on Railroad Street in Oceano. And Oceano Family Day is going to be June 30th and July 28th at the Oceano Elementary School from 9 a.m. to noon, and there'll be a lot of programs on health and activities for the whole family. And that's at 1551 17th Street, Oceana, 9 to 12.
And that's this Saturday is the next one?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And July.
Go
Karen,
Dolphins.
Do you have anything that we can put in the window out front for people?
Yes, both of them.
Great.
And also, I did a little bit of research, and I'll bring it up later, I think, on the Save Water banners.
Great.
I've got some costs and some... I thought I'd at least show you.
Why don't you work with staff on that, and we can bring
some... Okay, I'll show you.
Okay, so she's handed me a thing that says Save Water, Conservar Agua. I think my accent there was terrible.
Big banners are about $100 a piece.
Big banners are about $100 a piece, and we can hang those up around town. That sounds great.
And posters, we can get big old posters for $2.
For $2?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cheap ones.
And pass them around to the local businesses.
Yeah.
Anything
and we
else,
can we can Paul? Post them at places like our window in the Triangle Park and
yeah
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Also, the Sheriff's Advisory Council. I spoke with Bill Sennett today, who was part of that, and he advised that they're raising money to for the Sheriff's Day to give hot dogs to kids and such. So, if anybody wants to donate to the Sheriff's Advisory Council, they're trying to raise about $1,100 countywide. So.
Okay.
Anything else, Mary?
Oh.
Okay.
I like hot dogs.
It's 8:35.
I make a motion. We adjourn.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Everybody have a good night. It's 8:35 p.m.